This is Call with Dads, where we dive into the ups, downs, and everything in between when it comes to being a dad. Here, it's all about connecting with a community of dads who are committed to learning and leveling up as fathers. Welcome to Call with Dads. Now let's get started.
That's like saying poop in front of a five-year-old. You can't.
Yeah, it's... but it goes all... Well, it's like my son was watching a video on ecosystems, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a new channel that I wasn't familiar with. So, of course, he was sitting right there next to me. And the guy said the S-H-I-T word. And
mm-hmm.
I was like, nope, we're changing that. Because my son started going, Daddy, what is shh? I'm like, no, that's poop.
Actually nothing.
I'm like, it's the bad word way of saying poop. And right. So, yeah, let's dig into this, because we're already talking about different ways to try to teach our kids and all this. And, you know, the topic is basically just letting people know you have to kind of learn about the right way to teach your kids stuff. You can't just let other people teach your kids whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just like we were just saying, the fact of if I would have just let it go and not think anything about me teaching my son, hey, that S-H-I-T word, he'd be running around using it everywhere he could because he knows. Mm-hmm. And
right.
It's funny when you're a kid and
right.
you hear adults use it when they're upset. Well, and I probably said, come on, get your out of the way when I'm driving.
Right.
Because I'm sure my son's picked up a lot of things I've said while I'm driving, which not necessary.
I say the C-U-N-T word all the time. I don't mean to.
I've trained myself to say Dummycrats. In fact, I just bought some pins to say "Don't be a Dummycrat." We think here. It's fantastic. I created it myself. I have the logo, all this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a pin it to my hat and just nice. Me being me. But
yeah,
well, Dummycrats originated from my son used to watch a show called Wildcrats, right?
Oh yeah.
And he used to really love it. And now that he's at the age that it's meant for him to watch, he doesn't get into it anymore. But we started it off with that. So originally it wasn't meant to be political minded or what have you, but
it fits.
It does. But the funny thing is I've had to explain to people. I'm like, you know, it's kind of sad that you have to go there because that's not what it was originally, but it does fit you. So, okay.
How do you know that it fits you?
Yeah.
That's weird. What about that made you think I was talking about you? Maybe it's your actions.
Yeah. I'm a
Even
big fan.
Even you know you're dumb.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of like how we both have discussed multiple times about just keeping our kids out of public school and the fact of the things that they're teaching in public schools. Like, obviously, we don't have the same type of school that you have, their Latin school for your kid.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, we've interviewed a couple of Christian and Catholic schools here, and it was kind of, it was interesting, but they were just 100% against the technology side of stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, at first that sounds really cool, you know, but
you're like, oh, cool. Then you're like, well, I mean, as much as I understand, you still need to somewhat embrace technology because it is here and it ain't never going away.
Right.
I'm not going to be sitting around a table with candles. I'm sorry. I'm going to go click light.
Well, right. Well, look at it. Like, thanks to technology, like, my son is able to go through and sit there and say, oh, well, let me explain to you this ecosystem, this bug, this animal, because obviously that's what he's obsessed with is nature and animals, which is great that he's obsessed with that because he learns about it, then goes out and tries to explore, tries to find, which expands his understanding.
Right.
I mean, trust me, my wife doesn't know I've done this yet, but I've just bought a queen ant and some workers so that they can impregnate.
Oh, cool.
And he understands the worker ants will impregnate the queen, and then they will have broods. And I mean, he can discuss with you the process of nature in that sense.
Yeah.
But being able to teach him that, I would not have been able to teach him that if it wasn't for technology.
Right. You can show him like educational videos that explain that stuff. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like you can read a book with a lot of stuff, and sometimes, I mean, sometimes you can get it, but when you have a like active, like encompassing visual representation where it shows it progressive, like happening actually, even if it's a cartoon, like an animated version of it, it's still, you know, it still shows it. It still shows how it happens in a better way, you know. So technology is not 100% bad.
No, it's not. I think it's, one, if you don't do it all the time. Two, it also depends on how you use it. If you're letting your kids watch, right, like Blippi and Cocomelon, and I kid you not, my household, they'll even say, Cocomelon is bad. Or as bad as Cocomelon. My daughter being two, almost three, she goes, I'm like, no, that's bad. She'll look at me and go, bad as Cocomelon? I'm like, yes.
yes, as bad as Cocomelon. Yeah, Blippi's like, I don't even know what that is. Like,
Blippi's,
that's like, see, an adult show that's perverse and weird, but they dress it up for children so it attracts children with like colorful hats and funny butterflies and stuff. And like, if there was any account that says I'm a fucking pedophile, that's it.
Well, the original Blippi. So hold on. So like my kids will watch the original Blippi, because the original Blippi, he actually, I think he did a good job. And as far as I know, he has a family, this and that, but he's focused on teaching the kid. Yeah. Then they replaced Blippi with some guy that you question his.
Yeah.
And then they got this girl on, this Mika girl, who was the original Mika, was pretty good. She was entertaining. Mm-hmm. She actually could. Then they, like after a couple episodes, they replaced her for what I refer to as a DEI hire. And that, what confused me is the original one, I guess, I think she was a black girl too, but, and she was, like I said, she's good, but I guess she wasn't black enough.
Yeah.
But
weird.
Because the other one seems to have less talent than the first one. And I don't know what happened to the first Mika, but I thought she was much better, much more entertaining, much more. She was like the original Blippi. But after all that change, it's like, no, this is just, and literally after all this, I kind of, my kids don't watch kid YouTube anymore. It's, I have the app just as an emergency, as in, I hate to do this, but I have to distract you for a minute so I can handle this emergency.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I do. We do that sometimes too. I would like to get, what's that one? The Save Your Sons guys. What's that one called?
Sherwood or something.
Sherwood. That'd be pretty cool, because there's a lot of educational stuff, and you know, that's kind of the goal in education with, you know, me and my family, is I want to, if I'm going to allow them to watch TV shows, learn educational videos, and use stuff like that, I at least want them to have my own personal values, you know, whether it be political or religious or whatever. And Sherwood does. Sherwood has pretty solid values, you know, pretty good, you know, conservative style values, where they believe in, like, you know, Christian stuff and conservative style stuff, you know. So I would say that's probably one of my biggest goals in one of the reasons why we go to the school that we do, you know,
right.
They have that, you know, so, but they're okay with technology. They restrict technology use in their school, which, you know, most schools should to an extent,
right.
But they still embrace it. They understand and they teach their kids to use it and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. It's helpful.
Well, look at like Homester, the company that we're building, where Homester is a online service allowing people to either get a class, and as our instructor base and all this grows, it'll definitely be better. But you can do a in-person, like you and I talking kind of a course, where, say, you want to learn math for whatever age, or you want, like, right. I'm trying to get a guy that we just bought the ants off of. I'm trying to talk with him to have him do a class on ants. You know?
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool.
Then there's people that say they want to have a in-person art class where then you can use the technology to build up one if you want to have a business teaching, but and you can use the technology, but in all truth, look at it. If say I get this ant guy to agree to come on and do his course, right?
Mm-hmm.
First off, how many kids do you think would have had the opportunity to sit there and go, oh, well, homeschooler, regular school, whatever, would have sat there and been able to say, oh, I took a class. I'm doing a 4-week course on how to take care of ants.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
to become Ant-Man.
But I mean, in all truth, that's one of the great things about homeschooling is you have all these options to be able to find what fits your values, what fits political, religious. Right.
To me, that seems like the goal that we're trying to go with this website, with this homesir.com, because, a lot of people go to these homeschool platforms, and what do they provide? They provide their curriculum tip to tip, math, English, science, religion, Christianity, all this stuff. And it's almost like a cookie cutter board. Here's everything grade 9, which is good to an extent. But then, what if you're watching the online videos, you like the English teacher and you like the math teacher, but the political science teacher's not very good. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're like, this kind of sucks. I wish they had a different political science teacher, or I wish they had a different language arts teacher. Maybe my kid would adapt to it a little bit better and be able to get better grades and stuff. And that's kind of where it seems like this kind of pulls that play. So aside from all the other stuff, such as like art, doing the ants, maybe we'll get some, auto mechanic stuff. It's some wood shop stuff on there.
You know,
people wanting to add their own stuff and even be able to schedule local in-person classes as well as online courses.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also hoping to get, regular just math teachers, that way they can teach 9th grade math, and if we get 5 different teachers all offering that, you can watch their, tutorials and go, I don't like A, I don't like B, I don't like C, but D seems like really good for me and my family. And you can choose that person. And that seems to be pretty cool.
Well, the nice thing about it as well is people's going to be able to read the reviews of, mm-hmm. this teacher's good. Like I'm putting, like we were talking beforehand, I'm creating a math based on construction. So how you use math in construction for middle grade.
Right.
Now, I like to sit there and think, well, I'm going to do a fantastic job. And, in all truth, people might sit there and go, I love the concept, but the teacher just stinks.
Yeah, the teacher is kind of...
Kind of bland, doesn't really joke too much, real uptight guy, whatever it is,
Yeah, I can smell him through the screen.
Whatever it is. But people can put their reviews in there and say, yay, nay. And you, instead of sitting there saying, oh, well... It is what it is. I don't know. I'm taking a chance. You can actually see what other people are thinking, so you're not taking that big of a risk. But, unlike a lot of other platforms, at least the ones I'm seeing, you have people that are going out, they can do pre-recorded. So everyone, which I understand, pre-recorded allows you to have, like, mass courses where you can sell them, kind of like Udemy. Udemy, Udemy and Coursera, I've used those for me to learn how to do certain things.
Yeah.
And you can get them for courses for $19 to $700.
Right.
Now, and it makes sense because you can watch them at your own pace. You can do what you need to do to figure out what you need to do, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
What I find for me personally, like I'll do the time for learning, homeschooling online thing. It's non-religious. Mm-hmm. It's just straight. And I sit there with my kid learning the, I'm teaching him with it about the, I think he's doing third grade social studies, he's almost finished with third grade science, math. We use a Chinese service. And the Chinese service is doing kind of,
mm-hmm.
it's very limited, but they do where they have four kids, three to four kids sitting down, and they're all there while the teacher's teaching them all over the world.
Right.
And, you know, that's kind of the concept, because I realized when my son started his Chinese class,
mm-hmm.
he was learning a lot of, sorry about the shaking, the cat
is
boots
the cat?
Is the cat. She's right behind the monitor cleaning herself. So, but I mean, the thought is like, if say I'm in Virginia and I want to teach a course, somebody from mm-hmm. Nebraska could easily hop on and watch
right.
this. I could also mm-hmm. take that course and pre-record it, and somebody could say, okay, I watched the pre-recorded. I want to get on to his next level for the live courses and mm-hmm. be able to get that. And I mean, you take, it's not that hard if you know the topic. Most people's mm-hmm. fear, I think most people's fear of trying to teach what they know is
right.
because we all have stuff we know. It's
right.
writing the information out, trying to sell it, trying to get it listed.
Yeah.
And I think I almost want to make a joke about using a AI course to teach them how to do.
How to use AI?
Well, no, how to use AI to do the course writing, because,
right.
you know, a big part of this is us as parents, us as professionals teaching the things that we know, you know,
yeah.
to sit there and say, well, I use ChatGPT to write the summaries, and I put in and made ChatGPT write it nicer than I did, so it looks more right. professional. I'll be honest with you. The amount of times I even use it on emails now.
Yeah, please, it helps tremendously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Please rewrite this, and I'll put in a paragraph, mm-hmm. and it'll come back with three paragraphs, and I'll go, that sounds so much nicer, and I'll tweak.
A little bit better. Yeah,
yeah, I'll tweak okay. it. And I mean,
yeah.
it's the fact of technology is here. We have to know mm-hmm. how to use it, and
right.
it's crazy yeah. that people are sitting there going, well, I will never use this because it's evil or,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
it.
You know, one of the things I was thinking about for the homeschool.com that parents could actually use and people locally can use is, you know, that there are always going to be parents that are out there that want to homeschool their kids and just can't, you know.
Right.
Both parents work, and they both work very, you know, very time consuming jobs where they have to go to their job and they can't work from home and so on and so forth. And there's that stuff, and they just don't have that option. They got the money and they're totally willing to pay that little bit extra. They just don't have the time. There's no possible way, you know. But what if, you know, your neighbor does, you know,
yeah.
why can't your neighbor schedule the platform through homeschool.com? Even if they're using a separate homeschool service, you know, that they have their own, they can use this as a scheduling platform for courses and classes and stuff like that for other kids locally. And not only can they do, you know, their neighbor or something, you know, because most times you just be like, hey, bring them over, you know, you don't really got to use a scheduling platform. But if they could use that idea to offer versions of online for kids that aren't local, or they can use it as a scheduling platform to bring in other locals, and maybe the mom that does sit there and homeschool her kid all day long, why can't she homeschool 8 or 9 kids at the same time?
Well,
you know, make some money and grow together as a family, you know.
Oh, exactly. Well, the nice thing is like the one great thing about Homesir is the instructors can set up a recurring system. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to have it from this. You could do a reoccurring and have your payments set up to reoccurring. So say you want to do $50 a kid per week, and you do
right.
or whatever it is. And
mm-hmm.
now, mind you, I like to use round numbers. You can use $23 an hour if you want, but
yeah.
you can use 57, whatever numbers work with your math. But
right.
the fact is like, you could easily set that up to where you have your course mm-hmm. set up to recurring year right. round. Because like
yeah.
We don't stop homeschooling halfway through the year or summertime. I mean,
right.
In all truth, my son, his, and when my daughter starts, because once she gets to that level to be able to homeschool, she's going to be doing it too, where it's a couple hours in the morning for the fundamentals, the math, reading, science, basic science, whatsoever, you know? And then they're going to go out and explore the world, read books, all this stuff to allow them to be able to address whatever's coming in their way of the real world, because that's part of it. They need to understand how to think for English classes, how to think about for that stuff, how to be able to comprehend math problems, see it, this and that. But they also need real world experience being out there, which my son has classes galore. And the problem is finding good classes for him, which is, like we've discussed before, HomeSER's meant to eliminate that problem, because like for here, the only classes that I'm finding is either through a company that if you don't fit into their standards, then they're going to kick you out and try to keep your money.
And that's another thing that people can do, you know, maybe like some parent or something, you know, maybe they don't even homeschool or do any of that stuff.
Right.
But I mean, how simple would it be if you're just having fun with your kid? You take your kid out, you know, and just walking through nature and seeing stuff while you're doing that. You just, you know, record it. Record the stuff you say, and you log into HomeSER. You kind of put it on there, edit some information. You can even drop it into ChatGPT and have it dump a written version of it, you know, where it tells you and it's got the video. And then, I mean, 10, 15 minutes, you just take the video you used having fun teaching your kid about bugs out and thing, and you just make a course in literally 10 minutes, and you put it on HomeSER, and it just stays there forever. Yeah. You know, 10, 15 minutes out of your day, just to edit it and put it on there onto HomeSER.com, and it's just perpetually there, you know. And then every so often, you know, boom, 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 people buy it or whatever. You know, say you set it for $15, you know, boom, every single time, you know, and you don't have to do anything. Just it's there, it's done. You don't got to do anything. You could add more later on in the future, you know, make other classes, course on, you know, feral cats if you wanted to.
But speaking of cats,
the point is that, like, right now we're just recording this, and it could be like, this is how you talk to people on a podcast, you know. Then we just dump it onto homeser.com, kind of get up a little bit of edit and put it up on there as a course on how to talk to people on a podcast, and then it just sits there forever.
Yep.
And it doesn't ever go anywhere, but every time somebody sees it, they watch it or pay for the class or whatever, and you make a little bit of money.
Exactly.
You know, or you can post it on your Facebook and have your friends pay for it, whatever the case is. Either way, it's 10, 15 minutes out of your day, easy money, and it just sits there forever.
Like the old audio video classes that they used to have, which I don't know if they're still even around or not, but yeah, I mean, there's the options are limitless, and I mean, it's not as difficult to actually get the right kind of education for your kids and help provide that kind of education.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
like Udemy is pretty good, but Udemy is a lot of their courses are cookie cutters. Yeah. A lot of them are geared towards adults. A lot of them are actually, like, I hate to say it, but a lot of them are Chinese companies that like, you know, when you buy a hairbrush from America, like a handmade person, may cost a little bit more, but you'll have the hairbrush till you're 75. You buy one on Amazon from China and you'll have it till next year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's the difference in Udemy courses, and Udemy is not knocking them. So what they do is decent. You know, you can go on there and buy and stuff, but what we're doing is looking to make the course just more credible, more stronger, and just have an incentively much more value, just where it's actually worth something. You actually learn some stuff, especially for your kids.
Right. And the great thing about what we're doing is that it's geared towards homeschoolers, not just everybody. It's not trying to shoot out, and it's focused on
not towards corporate.
Yeah, because in all truth, we could easily sit there and say, okay, well, we're going to make a Udemy knockoff. So you're just doing pre-recorded courses only with this. Mm-hmm. Like if, like say,
yeah, that's all it is, pre-recorded.
Right. I mean, think about it. A mechanic can easily sit there and say, you know, my kid needs to learn how to do this. And that's another thing like got me in the thought, as well as the whole Micro's sweat pledge, I think it is, about mm-hmm. how he's trying to bring the trades and skilled trades back into realistic life and all this, where for the longest time, everybody's... where everybody was sitting there going, okay, well, you have to go to college. And I'm sitting there telling my wife, I'm like, you know, if my son wants to become an electrician then, or a plumber, I mean, there's a guy that when he came, young guy, came fix our AC and literally was like, pulls up in this decent looking car and he goes, yeah, this is my beater. He goes, my wife, and he talked Chinese and he had a niche market to where, because he talked to Chinese, he worked with a lot of the Chinese people in the area where I live. There's a huge thing of Chinese and Asians and mm-hmm. all this. And literally this guy was just having a killing. He owned, mind you, I think he was like in his mid-20s, late-20s, had multiple houses, had nice cars, and all he did was have a certification, like he had some experience working with HVAC, decided after he did his apprenticeship, whatever, started his own HVAC system dealing with a specific group, and now he's making a killing, and he's even hard to get a hold of now to say, hey, do you have time to come out, because he's so busy and popular and what so have you. Mm-hmm. Teaching kids that they have the ability to learn something other than college, like I said, for me, I went to college and I have a business degree and I barely use that business degree. Most of everything I've done is focused around construction one way or another. Construction, project management, design, what so have you. And for me, my thought is why not find a way to offer kids a way to learn about like construction math? Okay, well, you need to know your multiples by 6 and 12s.
Yeah.
Then you need to understand your fractions. Okay. Then degrees and circumferences and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not rocket science, but it's also taking that math and showing kids, hey, this is a real world application.
Right. And that plus a lot of kids go to college thinking, I'm totally interested in, you know, construction engineering. They get halfway through and go, this sucks.
And they
get out. So they essentially just put themselves in years and years of debt for no reason. You know what I mean? Now, and then they're switching,
majors.
Switching majors, or they're just flat out getting out of college. So they have debt with no degree. So it's almost like useless. So it can also kind of serve as a way to show, hey, this is what you're getting into there, buddy.
And honestly, the one thing that, I think is a fantastic idea with this homeschooling platform is as we bring people on, and I will be putting a focus into getting some of these skilled trade people in so that they can help as well with this. But a big thing is going to be is allowing these people to be able to, these kids to learn that skilled trades have a huge value, especially if you get into the right area, you get in with a good company, you can,
I remember people used to make fun of plumbers.
Oh, yeah.
Like they used to always make fun of them, like crack jokes on them. Oh, fat guy, you know, butt crack hanging out, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I know a couple of plumbers, a couple of my friends that became plumbers. They worked for companies as plumbers and made $100,000 a year. 5-6 years into it, they kind of flipped and did their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now they make like hundreds of thousands, and they don't even work anymore. They just run their business and they have employees. So.
Yeah. And that's the thing is the market's out there, and it's, for me, my thought is if we're going to take the time to teach our kids And I understand you want your kids to be better than you. And like I've always said, be better so they can be better. And yeah. Part of it is like, even no matter how good I have it, I still want my kids to learn how to change a light switch, how to handle being shocked by electricity in a residential level without falling off a ladder. I mean, the basics.
Curse and yell and then blame somebody else. That's how you get shocked in public, anyways.
Yeah, well, when I was a going to vocational school for electrical, and that's why I use it as an example because I'm strong electrical background. My electrical instructor, I remember I was up on a scissor lift, and we're in the school's cafeteria. And I'm up there and I'm working on changing a ballast out. And he goes, just keep in mind two things. I'm like, what's that? He goes, one, it's a live electricity, so you can get shocked. Two, if you get shocked and you fall off, don't scream, be a man. Just bear and grin the fall. I'm like thinking, like, okay, well, I'm 30 feet above the ground. This would hurt.
Yeah, I don't think I can be a man. I guess that's where you just go to the hospital. My arms like over here,
right,
back behind my neck in two pieces.
Yeah, but the concept is simple. It's basically learning things that you're not going to learn in a public school.
Right.
Because public school is meant to teach you how to fit into a cookie cutter position, and you look at what public schools are teaching so much that kids are going. Wanting to be gender studies or activist major. I mean, I kid you not, I've recently read that there's colleges teaching how to be activists. And I'm like, okay, this stuff is crazy that you think that you need to learn to be an activist. You need to learn how to be... No, you need to learn how to change your light bulbs. You need to learn how to have a skill. So, and I don't care
basic
if your skill...
household care.
Right. And I mean, seriously, we need to teach our kids things. And that's a lot.
The real question here is, have you ever been in jail or in a prison?
Have I? No. Well, I've been in a holding cell is the worst I've ever had.
Okay. Yeah. I've never been to a prison before.
Right.
I've been visited and seen pictures of, but not for me. But I mean, every picture of that I've seen, and the one that I visited down in Palm Beach County, it's a pretty big prison.
Right.
But pretty much every time I've ever seen one, you know, where do all the prisoners go to eat lunch, you know, or dinner or something, right? They go to a cafeteria where they get served food by cafeteria people. Mm-hmm. Then they go and sit in the little chairs and the thing in the big line in the cafeteria. And hang out with their little groups and clans and cliques and whatever else.
Right.
How do they know when their time's up? Right. You know.
Yep.
You know, all the same, very similar, you know.
Schools versus prisons.
About
yeah.
It. Right. There's very similar. It's all because, it's almost as if they put in the curriculars as just kind of something to get you to go, oh, okay, I'll put my kid there.
Right.
When in reality, that's not the goal. The goal of school nowadays seems to be to get your kid to do what they're told, you know, which is okay in an extent, but you also need to teach them to think because when they get older, they don't need to do what they're told. You know, they should just have simple morals. You know, they should know not to beat people up or rob people just because it's the right thing to do. But they should still know that they can do it because they're a grown up. You know, once they become a grown up, it's, you know, they have the ability to think and do whatever they want. So you have to teach them to think the right way and use their brain. That's kind of the goal. School doesn't do that. School tells them to think. When you're done with school, the next thing you need to do is go get a job or go to college. When you're done with college, go get a job in the field you worked. You know, nothing ever teaches anybody, like, what is an LLC? You know, nobody teaches you that. Nobody teaches you the process of how to file for an LLC, let alone what it is in the first place. You know what I mean? So, and then how, you know, what if, okay, so I do know how to be a plumber. I know how to take this pipe, put it to this pipe, make the water go that way. I know how to do that.
And do it so it doesn't leak. Yes.
Right. And do it so it doesn't leak. I know how to do that as a plumber. Sure. But how do I take that and turn it into a profiting business.
Right.
You know, but they don't teach you that in school, and they never will. Even in college, they don't teach that stuff.
No, I mean, a lot of my business degree was writing skills.
Math.
The math. I mean, the actual, which I always found funny that business school teaches a lot of theories, this and that, but it's rarely taught by somebody that, and here's what I find crazy is the people that do teach it, they're usually people that are not in the industry, have never, I mean, it's.
They're owned our business.
Right. Well, it's crazy. Like, if you think about it, like, and not to get political, but look how many of these politicians out there are talking about how they're creating jobs when these are people who's never had a job, never created a business in their lives to have employees to be able to say, okay, I understand this. It's, I've worked for the government my whole life. I've never had to hire anybody. I've had these people appointed to me or whatever it is. I mean, the whole concept of them being able to say, well, I'm creating jobs. Well, no, you're creating regulations that are stopping some people from making jobs and helping your friends create jobs. And again, that's both sides. That's not just Republicans or Democrats.
Yeah, because shifting law to benefit yourself and your friends.
So
yeah, my wife's business, my wife did a business degree, and her business degree was very like
general
theory. Yeah. It's all business theory. So all she did was study what these, like one of them was like what Walmart did for like different business practices. So I'm like, that doesn't teach you how to be a business. It doesn't make any sense. It's just, it's all business theory. Cause that's Walmart's a giant corporation. You know, the off chance that you become a giant corporation is like one in 19 billion, you know what I mean? And then once you do, I mean, you think the Walmart dudes, what is their last names? Walls or whatever. You think those dudes are doing any of those crazy business practices? No.
Right.
They're hiring a bunch of business specialists and contract specialists and all this stuff to do all these different things, you know, and then they have like boards and groups of all these think tank people to think up these business practices. So it doesn't even make sense. And then they had her in classes like, what do you call it? Some were like different theories on how stocks and stuff operated, which doesn't make any sense. I mean, she had to ask me what a lot of these different verbs and stuff, what is it like, what does this mean? What is a hedge fund? And I'm like, I had to like explain it to her, you know, what a hedge fund was. You know, I've never took a business degree. I just knew what it was. You know what I mean? Just from using that stuff and doing it and interacting with it. She had to like read about it, and she still doesn't really know much about it, like at all. Like,
well,
so it's super weird how that stuff is.
Well, what I find funny. Oh yeah, I agree. I mean, I find it funny is like I've mentioned I have a business degree. Most of my business experience is working for a small company, where I had to be basically next to the owner of the company, learning, seeing what he's doing, listening to things he's saying, reading books that were not textbooks that didn't cost $300 for the textbook, and where I would pay $15, $12 back then for a thick book that I would sit and read on, written by actual people that's owned businesses, ran businesses, things like that. And it was almost like a memoir kind of in business oriented. And I was able to see that in real life. And like you said, I had to be involved. I had to do stuff. I had to operate accordingly so that I could get this stuff done. The whole thing is coming down that in the real world, like what I want is, in my theory in life is, save my son, huge nature person. I don't know why this earphone is falling out all the time, but my son, a huge, huge nature person. Say he wants to become a veterinarian, right? Well, one thing I'm going to do is say, okay, well, you want to become a veterinarian. First thing to do, go learn from a veterinarian, work as a helping hand or something like that for a year.
Yeah. You're a little vet tech or dog water.
Yeah, whatever it is, to see what is actually happening inside a veterinarian.
Right.
Because that's, and then talk to the vet. What do I need to learn? What honestly do I need to learn to do this job? Not the school requires this, this, and this. If you want to be a good vet, what do you need to learn? Mind you, to become a vet, become a licensed vet, you have to have the degree and blah, blah, blah. But, okay, so you're having specific, but let's say, for an example, you go work for a plumber. We'll use a plumber as an example, an electrician, and you go and you work for him and you're saying, okay, you have a successful business. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take these. What classes do I need to take or what do I need to read to be able to do this? And he could say, okay, I'm buying you these books. I want you to read them. And then one day a week, you're going to sit with me while I operate the business so you can see how things are being done. Mm-hmm. And I mean, these are the ways that how it used to be, the apprenticeships, the mentorships.
Yeah.
And as we improve, I want to kind of bring that back into Homester so that people can be able to have that. But as again, this is things as we grow, we're going to be doing everything we can to provide homeschooling families with everything they need to be able to send their kids out in the real world. It's not because as much as we like to say we can teach our kids everything, we're limited, obviously. No.
Yeah.
But we can take the steps and the opportunities to actually build up that knowledge and utilize the community that we find. And like I said, it's not just going to be pre-recorded. Like my math class that I'm going to do is going to be live online. I'm going to have slides. I'm going to have all this stuff, the video, and what so have you. And using that to teach where I can answer questions as I'm teaching, where I can interact with the students. And one thing I will say to all the parents that are utilizing this is sit with your kids or sit close by your kids to hear what's being taught. That way you can just, one, discuss it with them. Two, don't, as much as I like to say, oh, yeah, everyone in the homeschool community is fantastic. Yeah. You don't trust strangers in the sense, and don't let your kids talk to
you. We can say we're trustworthy all we want, but do you know that? I mean, I personally know Mr. Pancakes, and he is trustworthy.
Yes. But the fact is it seems like education as a whole has gone way south because the big thing that I hear a lot of people talking about is I bought a desk to teach my kid. I try to teach my kid just like they would learn in school. Well, you're trying to teach them not like the public school. The only advantage of, from what I understand, the public school provides is teaching them. Well, it's free, but it teaches them how to sit and take a test. It teaches them how to learn, not patience. Learn how to do it, how to do the skill, but how to learn the facts so you can tell somebody about the skill.
Yeah. And technically, it's not free. You pay your taxes.
Yeah, trust me. I'm well aware of that. But it's not free. And there's no such thing as a free lunch is a phrase that I'm very adamant to. So, but
I love that when the Obamas were like, we got children free lunches in school. No, you didn't. Yeah. You gave those kids free lunches. Because
and then you charge us.
Those people paid for it.
Exactly. So the government does, and that's, you know what, one course I'd love to see somebody teach why the government does not make money. The government it will print money, but the government does not do anything to create a profit, which it should. The government should figure out how to do something, create a profit, and run in the sense that it is going to improve its income instead of, I guess I'd say you look at the serfs and the peasants and all these people, they were taxed by their local government to keep them down enough that they couldn't afford to rise up against the kings and the dukes and the royal, the ruling class.
You know how we force the government to put itself in a positive surplus and build some sort of profit. The what's his name? The guy who invented or started Berkshire Hathaway said, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, that's
you know who I'm talking about, right?
Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett, that's it. Warren Buffett said, the government should not go anywhere near or less than a GDP of 3.5. If it does, every sitting member in Congress is immediately from that moment, the moment it goes tick less than 3.5 GDP, it goes to 3.4.9, whatever, 3.499999 GDP. Right. Every single member of Congress and the Senate is no longer sitting. And we have no Congress and we have no Senate. And we do a new mid-cycle emergency vote, countrywide, like right then there. I can guarantee you every single one of them suckers will be doing everything they can to keep GDP above 3.5%.
No. So that's a great theory, but you want to know why that won't work. And this is something that, because think about it. How many people are in Congress and Senate that have been there? Like, look at,
like 40 years.
Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell.
Right.
I mean, some of these people, they get in and they never get out. They get out of college and they run for politics or they do whatever they need to do. And they don't work a job, but they live in politics and they're in politics their entire life. They get into Congress and they've been in Congress longer than most businesses that have started because they create laws to put them out of business.
Right.
The fact is people, and that's a problem is political science isn't really taught anymore. And if people were taught political science and taught about all this stuff, they would learn, hey, I need to know about the candidate. But here's what happens right now. I can promise 90 to 95% is my rough guess, right? On election day, people are going to go out. They have an R behind their name. Check, 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 check. They have a D. Yeah. Check, 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 check. They're not going to know anything about any of the candidates other than who's at. If it's a, and most likely they're only voting presidential elections.
Yeah.
So my dad does.
He goes and votes on election day, but he doesn't choose who he votes for. He just says because there's an option to hit all Democrat or all Republican. He just smashes the all Republican button.
Right.
I'm like, don't do that.
But see, that's the thing is, why do you think they do that? That way nobody looks at who's doing it. So, and what it is a lot of people sitting there saying, oh, well, these people, and I hate to say it, I've seen some Democrats, I don't agree with everything they say, but, and this isn't nationally, but I've seen some Democrats who have still head on their set where they're on their shoulders, where they're what I would call classic liberals, the JFK liberals,
right?
Where like, what is it? Look at Tulsi Gabbard, right?
Yeah.
I definitely don't agree with everything she says, but she's kind of on that classic liberal mindset, right? You look at what's the guy from West Virginia that just switched to independent who was a Democrat.
Kennedy guy?
No, you're, this is, I can't remember his name now, but he was a kind of a classic liberal kind of thinker.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Democrat and he voted a lot with the Democrats when he was forced to, but I mean, there's those people out there that are kind of classic liberals who will still stand up for what's right. You don't agree with everything, but, and then you have the Republicans who are just Republicans by name because they know I'm in a Republican area.
Right.
So I need to be listed as a Republican.
Yeah.
I mean,
Both hands on both parties. Yeah. That type of information should be taught to people. And especially when you're young as a kid, I mean, obviously I shouldn't be teaching a 5-year-old that stuff. Like, you know, I'm not over here like, let's teach our 5-year-olds. And that's just blatant indoctrination.
Right.
You know, because at that age, they, for the most part, don't really think 100% for themselves. They do whatever daddy tells them. So,
right.
When as they get older, you know, in their younger, you know, probably 12 and 13, and then is where you could kind of start it and start a little bit older, a little bit older, a little bit more through the course of their teen years. Obviously, the number one goal is when they're very young is to teach them the moral side of it, you know, based, you know, how to think about morals and life and reality. And then as they get older, you try to connect politics with that. Yeah, and that stuff just isn't taught anymore in school, you know. So that's why people like my dad just go, I like guns, Republican.
Yeah.
I like guns too, but I mean, that's not the only reason I'm voting for this person or that, you know.
Right. And in all truth, most times anymore, it is a definite divide, but you look at it, it's, I mean, years ago, there was they weren't that far apart, and you actually had quite a few crossovers.
Right. But,
I mean, you look at the primaries. Like, you go to have a new Republican try to get in, and most people are sitting there going, well, Joe Smo's been in office for 30-some years. Why would I vote for anyone else other than him? Because he's the Republican, or he's the Democrat that I've known. I mean, at the fact of we need to teach our kids not just, and this isn't just political, on all aspects. I mean, a lot of people
because look at, has anything changed or gotten better in the 30 years that he's been in? So when he says he's going to make it better now.
Well, think about it.
All of a sudden.
So even in business aspect, this is how we've been doing it, blah, blah, blah. Right. Okay. Well,
business as usual.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you do know if we try this, if we change this, then we can, this could happen. But if we don't, then nothing happens and nothing changes. You don't get an improvement. You don't get a loss. But the fact is what tends to happen is you get stuck in a specific way. You get stuck in a specific mindset and you get stagnant. And it's the people that are trying to do something new that tend to build something and find something that makes it better for their employees, for their constituents, their whatever. It's
right. Yeah, for sure.
And kids learning that, learning the skills, learning that there's another way of thinking, or I need to learn this, or I need to learn that, or like you look at it, like the micro works is meant to teach people, hey, there's another option other than college.
And
okay, you go to college, like when I went to college, by the time I graduated, you ended up with $50,000 in debt. Now $150,000, if not more, and that's just for a 4-year degree. Right. Now, if you want to have a degree specific, you end up with $200,000-$500,000, depending on how high you're going. I mean,
and then you want to go to school for, you know, 6-8 years and get your PhD in string theory and evolution of dance. Like,
yeah,
the hell. So first off, evolution of dance, dumb. No one cares. Second off, string theory.
Right.
The only job you're ever going to get is at a college. So you're just perpetually in college forever. You just band yourself to college forever. Idiot. So, you know, you got to think about what you do first before you go kind of get that information about what you're going to do, what you want to do, you know, get, you know, inside scoop, see things, you know, especially at a young age, kind of develop that idea and ability to think for what you want to do. Because if somebody just tells you what you want to do, then especially in school,
I'd say the government is the one that's handing out the loans for colleges now.
Right.
They took it away from the private banks because they thought that the private banks were making money, heaven forbid, off of people, and they were not loaning out for people that wanted to go get degrees that had no value.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Right. You want to know something funny that I bet you no one knows?
What?
And this is a real thing. This is that using your brain and thinking about stuff before just doing what you're told in school. You know, this is something I learned outside of school. The Federal Reserve is not a government entity.
Nope.
It is a private bank.
Yep. But the government has its hands in it.
Right.
Yeah. They're not supposed to, but they have their hands in it.
They're not supposed to, but they do. Yeah. Yeah, it is a privately operated bank that's run by government officials, which
it's supposed to be a collection of the banks, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Yeah. And if you, I mean, if you go Google the definition of communism. Communism is not socialism. Socialism and communism are actually different. Socialism is when the government owns the collective, right? Communism is when
is the next step.
Right. It's the step after that is when they essentially take a collective and then they give government officials the ability control. And right to own their own individual private businesses that control the entire market. So it's essentially the government and private colluding together, what is the Federal Reserve?
Yeah. Well, for communism, once the government owns all businesses and mm-hmm. controls them in one way or another, which,
right.
I mean, with all the licenses, the permits, and everything you have to do to have a business nowadays here in the States.
Basically the same thing, yeah.
So, but.
Like, China has private businesses, but all of their private businesses are owned and operated by government officials. There's no, like, just citizens. Like, a normal citizen can't just go start a business.
So, a normal citizen can start a business in China.
Mm-hmm.
But what it is it's like, you have a small store. You have, right. But if you want to own a factory, if you want to own a larger business,
mm-hmm.
like you have to be working with the government, and the government can tell you how to run your business. So even the mom and pop stores, the government, which if this sounds familiar, please stop me because heaven forbid the United States would never do this, where the government will come in and tell you. You are not allowed to serve somebody unless they have a passport, or they have this digital ID or whatever it is. Yeah. I mean, but not that we would ever do anything like that here. Kick people out of stores for not wearing the proper symbols. But
Sweden has max income. Like a business can only make this much money. The end.
I think I heard that, but I wasn't sure. But yeah, and that's the thing is, these are things that aren't actually taught anymore of, hey, mm-hmm. like, look at it, in all truth. Okay, I understand, like, medication, it gets expensive. And because of mm-hmm. the healthcare system, how it is, it's completely corrupt inside out all the way through to make it harder on us. But the fact is that here's what it comes down to is the government puts their fingers in it. The mm-hmm. government's involved in the healthcare, so they're putting regulations, all this. Right. Some regulations make sense, but like the the FDA, right?
Mm-hmm.
They literally only approve. They don't even research a lot of what's being approved. And you look at American cereals, right? Mm-hmm. They're meeting the FDA standard, but FDA standards that have not been looked at, studied, or examined. And
are illegal in Europe.
for decades. Right. I mean, it's been generations. But you want to know why they don't do it? Is because the corporations are paying.
Yeah, and they pay them money.
And I just heard it and it stuck in my head that it's not capitalism people really dislike. It's crony capitalism that people are against because mm-hmm. what we're doing is not building...
Communism.
Yeah.
Government and businesses colluding.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. it's that whole thing because crony capitalism is not true capitalism. It's it's the public government or public private partnership kind of things, kind of like the legacy media likes to do.
Right. But
all this is basically not being taught. And
mm-hmm.
this is why, like, for me, homeschooling, the great thing about it is I'm teaching my kids how to think. Not what to think. They may disagree with my theories on stuff down the road. And even my son now will sit there and say, I want to do this. Why? Well, because. Well, no. Give me a reason. Explain to me. He'll go through. He'll negotiate. Or I want this. Why? He'll explain. We'll debate. We'll discuss it. And all these different things. That's kind of to bring it back to Homestar. That's kind of what Homestar is meant to do, is bring that ability for people to learn and expand their range of knowledge so they can learn how to think. A lot of a lot of the things that I learned how to figure stuff out isn't because of what I learned while I was in school, but my stepdad teaching me how to work on a 1979 Firebird that was a POS. I mean, literally holes in the floorboard, overheated. My God, that thing was a death trap, and I wish I would have stuck with it on learning how to build it up, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I was young and dumb, and I didn't do that, but I learned a lot of stuff working with him doing that. Doing an apprenticeship as an electrician. Trust me, it's one of those things that you get your hands dirty, and I'm not saying, hey, you have to be an electrician or a plumber or a carpenter all your life, but like you said, start off, learn it, understand it. I started off with the electrical trade. Mm-hmm. I ended up moving to a different area, but used that knowledge to get back into the construction field after I got myself into the right mindset where I started designing restaurants. I started designing buildings. I started working with architects and engineers and things like that, where I was providing something that I could use that knowledge. And using that knowledge, I replace all my own light switches and receptacles. There's things I know I need to bring an electrician or a plumber in for, because one, I don't have the tools anymore to do it. Two, I have two kids, a wife. Finding the time to do it is rough.
And let's be honest, YouTube is only so good.
Exactly. But there's a reason that we pay people to have the expertise in a subject. Mm-hmm. Again, I can replace some stuff, but we need to be taught to understand the process. And like my daughter, I want to teach her to understand how a car works, so that when somebody sits there and says, oh, well, you know, your Turner fluid, your turn light fluid is low, we need to replace that, and then we need to
replace... She can be like, it'll be done.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's that whole thing is, if somebody's trying to scam her, you have to understand the process of what it is. You know, you might not be able to say, well, this computer's language for this car is this, and no. But if you can say, well, I know the timing belt is this, the transmission is down there, the engine block is this, okay, a piston, things like that. I mean, the general things of it. I know that you don't use lead pipes. I know you don't use...
anymore.
Yes.
So when I first joined the military, we had this kid that was like blatantly naive, just a young kid. He was a doofus. We used to call it the cop shack, you know, the MPs or whatever, the security forces for Air Force guys, you know, so on and so forth. So we, you know, when I first got into the military, I was in aviation, so aerospace. So I worked on the flat line, stuff like that. So we told this kid, we need what's called K9P lubricant.
Right.
And we told him, you only can get it at this building. And we gave him the address to the building on base. And he was like, okay, you have to go there and you have to order it. It's a warehouse. You have to go there and order it from the girl at the counter. She has it. It's called K9P lubricant. And he went all the way over there and got all the way through the process ordering it. And the cops at the cop shack knew exactly what he was talking about, because they know us. And we've done it a few times. And he went over there and he ordered K9P.
Yeah, I heard that. I've heard that joke before. And
yeah, we actually did it quite a few times.
Well, yeah, a lot of people don't think. And that's the thing is, if you sit there and say, what is it? The old Simpson jokes, like Bart Simpson calls Mo and does his prank. Yeah. And if you say it quickly, or if you say it slowly, it's one thing. If you say it quickly, it sounds completely different.
Like it was Like and we had plenty of lubricants that sounded like that, like 3CPL something lubricant or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, it's like, what is it? My wife sent me a video. There's this young girl talking to a young guy, 20s or something, because to me, if you're in your 20s, you're young now. But this girl, she had an accent, and the guy goes, well, can I have your number? She goes, yes. It's 666-6-3-9-6. And he's sitting there, And she pulls his phone and types it in and hits 666-396. Right. So he was hearing sex, 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 free tonight, sex.
Right.
And it's one of those things that it's easy to misunderstand something that's being said or what's I have you. And it's funny,
yeah.
But like you guys probably had a good old time with everyone. And I'm sure everyone that had that happen to him was like, hold on, this one's mine. All right.
Yeah, let me, my turn.
Yeah. You made me do this last time. Let me do this. Because, yeah, you want to joke around, yeah. And it's a harmless prank. But
yeah,
it's one of those things that when coming in, it's easy to tease somebody to have them do that because they don't understand, oh, there's this, there's that.
Yeah.
Because they don't. Right. But when you actually have that knowledge to start with, you can sit there and go, yeah, funny. Why don't you come with me? Show me how to fill out the form. Yeah.
Right. That's kind of the idea behind the, you know, someone taking advantage of your daughter at the mechanics. Shop saying, yeah. Oh, I got to order you new muffler bearings. Like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
Yeah. Or what is it? Your turn light fluid was the one
blinker,
I always heard.
Blinker fluid.
Blinker fluid. Blinker fluid, yeah. But yeah.
Muffler
let's
bearings,
do this.
Blinker fluid, there's a few of them.
Let's do this. We've been going on this rant for a bit. I mean, I think most people at this point knows where we stand with teaching your kids methods. And as Homesir grows, you need to go there, which, by the way, Homesir is a sponsor. Since it is our company, it is our sponsor. So go to Homesir.com where now or whenever you get a chance to go, you can be able to get great classes, get great information, great resources. We're going to keep building this up to where it's going to benefit homeschoolers, people that want to improve what the public schools or private schools are doing. Just whatever.
Absolutely.
It's going to be an amazing place, and we're just getting started at this point, and I promise soon enough it's going to be the place to be for homeschooling. So, Mr. Pancakes, tell people where to find you. So if they want to contact you, want to learn more about you or learn what you're doing, where do they go?
Yeah. So, you know, as always, the normal place, you know, pancakeswithdad.com. That's the main centralized location. You can find all the links to all of our social medias and stuff. You got LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, X or Twitter, as some might know it. And then Truth Social. Those are all the socials, all there all the time. You can message me. Probably one of the better places is through the messaging on the website, because it just goes right to my email. Just don't forget, one of the best ways to support us on the Pancakes with Dad website is through, you know, buying merch, checking out cool things. Even if you have ideas for new shirt ideas or mugs or something you want me to get made for you, just send me an email. I'm always happy to do something, you know, extra. You want me to make a custom mug? I think I have access to the custom abilities now. So just shoot me an email, shoot me a message. I'm always happy to try and do something new. That's the best way, because all the profits go back into what we're doing to try and help build further and further.
Sounds perfect. And of course, with me, with Call with Dads, with us, our website is the best way to reach out to either me or Mr. Pancakes if it's directly related to Call with Dads, where callwithdads.com. That's obviously, if you're watching the show, you should be able to figure out the name pretty easily for the website, where you go. We have our podcast there. You can also find where it's locally on your favorite player. Mm-hmm. As I've always said, if you're not finding us on your favorite podcast player, shoot me a message. Let me know. I will get it on there with all of our back episodes as well. So you can also go to YouTube, Rumble. We're there. We have a pretty good system going there as well. And, of course, social media, X, Facebook, Instagram now. We have LinkedIn. So reach out to us. Let us know what we can do for you. Let us know if you have any questions. Or if there's even somebody you want to hear come on the show to discuss a topic, feel free to let us know. We're happy to try to reach out and get that guest on so that we can get the topic discussed for you.
Trump.
Yeah, I don't think, let's see here, Trump's going on Joe Rogan. I don't think he's going to come on Call with Dads.
We're not quite Joe Rogan yet. Come on.
No, we're definitely not
Fine,
Joe
we'll
Rogan.
We'll get Kamala. We'll get the cackler on. Gack, gack, gack.
I couldn't handle that. That's yeah. With that being said,
be
everybody, thank you for being here. We appreciate it, and you have a good one.
Absolutely. Yep. Have a good one. Bye.